1066
WFAN. Alrighty, we are back. Our final hour on this Saturday morning. Matt Casey in the co-pilot's chair at the controls. And we'll be here till 10 o'clock and Jody Mack taking over at 10. Right now we shift gears, downshift, into some golf. And we're talking with Dave Dusick. And David, of course, is the senior writer for Golf Week magazine and a course raider and chief cook and bottle washer and all of that. And always a pleasure to talk to him on the fan. David, how are you doing this morning?
Good morning, Richard. How are you?
I'm good. Good. And, you know, the interesting thing, or one of the interesting things, there was a graphic on TV yesterday that I saw that Royal Portrush, where this Open is being played, in 1951 was 6,800 yards. It's about 7,300, give or take, now. And I'm thinking, geez, 6,800 yards back then with Persimmon Woods and Sammy Snead and guys like that driving the ball 240, maybe 250 tops. That must have been a bear back then. They must have been hitting driver and three woods into some of the par fours, no?
Yeah, I think that what you end up forgetting, though, sometimes is just how firm and how fast some of the fairways on links golf courses can be. I mean, if you recall back, I can't believe it's been 10 years now, but Tom Watson, at age 59, was able to contend at the 2009 Open Championship at Turnberry. And, you know, at 59 years of age, he was able to hit shots and get so much roll in some of these fairways. Yeah, it was a lot of golf course back then. But links-style golf courses like Royal Portrush and Turnberry and St. Andrews and some of these others that the Open Championship has played on are so quick and so bouncy oftentimes that it gives shorter players an opportunity to contend because the ball just rolls forever. If you can keep it below the wind, distances can be really deceiving. Sometimes short holes playing into a 30-mile-an-hour wind play really long, and sometimes really long holes play short. And oftentimes I've talked to players and coaches and caddies and such, they look at the yardage just as a very brief guide as to where to start guessing. And links golf is all about the weather and the conditions and such. But, length in some of these golf courses can be a deceiving kind of a thing.
Yeah, and those hard fairways and those bounces can play both ways because you've seen shots that look like they're pretty good shots and they just roll and roll and roll and they get into that deep stuff and, you know, turns pretty good shots into not so good shots.
Yeah, and sometimes you'll hit a ball that goes into the middle of the fairway and it careens off of a mound and then it starts to drift left and they have pot bunkers there that look like somebody came down with about a 20-foot across biscuit cutter and they are designed to gather balls and penalize wayward shots. And you can hit a shot that you think is going to be great. You don't play for the roll to be quite good enough. And now all of a sudden you're, you know, up against the face of a 5-foot tall, you know, pot bunker 200 yards away from the hole. And it's almost like a full shot penalty. Just getting out of them can be challenging. And there's no way in many cases you can get the ball onto the green and you're scrambling like mad to save a par after you hit a shot sometimes into the fairway. And the philosophy is that golf's not fair. You know, sort of like life. Golf, sometimes you can do everything right and you just don't get the benefit that you think. And that's the way it goes. And links golf can be like that.
Yeah, that's what I don't love about it, just playing it myself, because, you know, you think, all right, I don't hit that many good shots. When I hit one, I don't want to get penalized. But
yeah.
These guys are on a different level. I mean, you can see David Duvall shooting a 14 on a hole, and you go, come on, a 91. How can a professional golfer do that? Not that Duvall is great these days, but still, that's crazy.
It happens. We saw, I mean, I think we were all surprised with the buildup that Rory McIlroy received leading into this tournament. We can talk about that, but there's out of bounds, which is a little bit controversial, on the left-hand side of the very first fairway, and Rory hit it out of bounds. And Rory McIlroy is one of the best players in the world and one of the best drivers of the golf ball in the world. And yes, that was an iron shot that he hit, but it's difficult. It's a tough game, and depending on the circumstances and the weather and what's going through your head, golf's not easy.
Yeah, well, and the other thing, too, these guys are great scramblers. They can get up and down from almost anywhere. But, you know, most of the U.S. courses, even the U.S. Open courses, you miss the green. Okay, you might be in some cabbage, but, you know, they can usually get out of it. Here, you get into this foot-long stuff, you know, finding your ball is a chore and being able to get up and down. I mean, shots distance-wise, it would be pars on U.S. courses turn into bogeys and doubles here.
It's a different style of game. It's the most pure game in terms of, like, most similar to the roots of it that we still have. And there aren't a lot of real links golf courses like you're going to see on today's coverage, and certainly here in the United States, there's just a handful of them that can genuinely be called a links course. It's called a links course because the land links the ocean, the sea, to the inland areas. So by definition, it has to be on sand dunes and mounds, and there are almost never trees to speak of. I mean, you get bushes that can withstand the wind and the elements that are exposed to it, but there's certain things that sort of define what a links golf course is. We don't have too many of them. Pros don't play very often on them. It's a heck of a lot of fun if you ever have a chance here in the U.S. to have some place like Bandon Dunes in Oregon. You can get the real deal. But it's a very tricky, very difficult kind of a way to play golf, and it's very unique, and some people love it. Some people don't care for it, but yeah, it's certainly a challenge.
Well, and how much of it is natural? Because I'm seeing these dunes where they look like they're 20, 25 feet high, and you can't even see the ocean. Was that natural, or did they bulldoze those to make them higher?
Well, you got to remember that in this case of Royal Port Rush, where we're playing this tournament, this golf course was designed and was built originally in 1888. So bulldozers had yet to be going. At that point, whatever shaping would have taken place, it would have been literally mules pulling, you know, carts and just sort of dredging it out. What's much more prevalent is that the mounds and the undulations you see, the humps around the greens and around the bunkers, have come over literally over 100 years of people playing the golf course. And every time they splash a ball up and out of a bunker, for example, it coats just a little bit of sand over the top of the existing soil. We'll do that for 120 years, 130 years, and you end up getting mounds and humps and swales. You get wind erosion. You get obviously the rain that pelts these golf courses. It's by and large, certainly in the British Isles and what we're seeing here, all natural. This is, it's got holes are basically contoured and shaped very, very minimally. And that's one of the real charms and allures of the whole place.
Well, that's the thing, too. Most links courses we're used to seeing seem relatively flat. Not that they don't have the dunes and the undulations, yep, but there's not a lot of elevation change. Whereas this course, I don't know if you compare it to Augusta, but there seems to be a lot of elevation change on it.
There's quite a bit by the standards of a links golf course. You're correct. And it just sort of is the way that the topography and the land in this particular area works out, is that you get a little bit more undulation and change. Now, they did redesign two holes, the finishing holes, at this golf course in preparation, if you will, for this tournament. The knock had been that Royal Port Rush were 16 unbelievable holes and one or two that weren't so good. And they have borrowed some of the finishing holes and reworked a little bit of the routing because they have to, just like everybody else for the most part except Augusta, build in corporate villages and parking and tents and all the infrastructure that goes around with a major sporting event. And the routing on the traditional 18 holes, if you were going to go and play there, just didn't work. You just couldn't fit 40,000 people plus the tents and all the stuff and have things work out. So they reworked the golf course a little bit for this tournament. But yes, you still get a lot of undulation, a lot of ups and downs and swales, and that's a little bit unique. It's nothing like what you would get at Augusta National and some of the golf courses here in the United States, but it is noticeably different from something, for example, like St. Andrews, which people may be used to because we go back there every 5 or 6 years for British Opens, and that one is relatively flat.
Well, we only have a couple of minutes left, and we haven't mentioned players, so I think we ought to do that. Obviously, Tiger, Phil, McIlroy. I mean, McIlroy, 79-65. I mean, 14 strokes difference one round to the next is just an amazing change.
It was. I think that the moment, I mean, he'd been building up to this golf tournament, and I'm sure he had it circled on his calendar starting in 2015 when it was announced that Royal Port Rush would be opening the Open Championship. It was very special to him, and I've been really trying to think about how much he was trying to potentially fool himself into not, you know, trying to convince himself basically it's just another tournament. Treat it like another tournament, and clearly it wasn't. It meant a lot to him. He really gave it his all and shot 65 yesterday, trying to make the cut and just be around for the weekend. You know, he was playing 60 or so miles away from his town where he grew up, Hollywood, Northern Ireland. The fans wanted him to be here, and he gave it absolutely everything he had. And it clearly, on Thursday, got to him. I mean, he did not play his best, and but he showed tremendous heart. He showed a lot of class coming out, and you know, giving everything he had. The crowd was behind him. He played brilliantly yesterday. He was just fell one shot short. I mean, Thursday was just too much to overcome. And he's a real easy guy for fans to like based off of his reaction and the reaction you saw on social media from everybody else to the way he played.
Real quick, we only have a few seconds left. It's always unfair to pick a winner in a golf tournament because there are so many talented guys and so many things that can go wrong or right. Who do you like? Who do you see going into the weekend that you think might have the right stuff?
The weather forecast is supposed to get absolutely diabolically nasty on Sunday. I sort of like right now Tommy Fleetwood, who's at -7, one shot off the lead, and it's really difficult not to say Brooks Koepka, who's starting today at 5-under, three shots behind Holmes and Lowry, that Koepka won't find a way to somehow be in the mix on Sunday. He's just playing too well.
Yeah, he always does. And Tommy Fleetwood looks like a rock star to me. Like he should be playing guitar for Led Zeppelin or something.
He could open for the Beatles, like, you know, back in like 67 or something, without a doubt.
Absolutely. David, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks a lot, Richard.